Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. You all right, Woodman?
Yeah, very good, thank
Thoroughly
you.
Average week, I thought.
I thought so. Very average.
What was disappointing for me is we spent a week off. We came back and there was two texts maybe welcoming us back.
It was about it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was thin on the ground.
I didn't even thank the gas man because I was so worried about everyone echoing my thanks. I didn't even dare do it. I heard him a couple of mornings because now when you have a holiday, you don't go away.
I know.
You'll sit there thinking, why did I bother wasting a week off just for someone to come in and do such a good job? It's really annoying.
Not good.
Not good. Anyway, coming up, rug chat. Dexterous dogs, and the woodman salutes a group of nuns heading to the warmer climes of his heroic little slot, where it's always sizzling hot. Enjoy. Radio X. Good afternoon, Chi. Lovely to have you on board 4 till 7 thing. It was a nice weekend, nice and sunny. It's a bit grimmer, quite cold out there. And actually, there's a deceptive icy breeze which moved in from the Arctic over the weekend.
There has been, hasn't there?
And it really knackered my clothing choices.
Right.
Because I looked out the window, it looked really sunny.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit of greenhouse effect in the room. In my bedroom, I said, I've got to take Milton for a really nice walk. Boy, did I underrug.
It was autumnal out there, wasn't it?
Then suddenly underneath, there was this sort of thing where you're sort of thinking, am I really ill? I can still feel this real cold underneath.
It's cold.
Yeah. So what I did was, I stopped off at Waitrose and I bought for 10 quid one of those rugs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but those rugs that you just carry along then, they've got like a waterproof thing at the bottom to it, yeah?
Okay.
But the trouble is once you've got a cheap rug.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it means you're looking for, you know, a victim to roll in it and stick it in a...
Right.
What you get, which is weird, is you just want to pitch up places. You just want to, I think we'll sit here for a bit. It's like having your own park bench. It's quite mad. So I keep it in the pram now at the back, sort of like a cowboy with that little rug on the back. And so because I'm so starved of any sport, I found myself on Sunday, yesterday, Bank Holiday Monday, I found myself watching as it was, I was just loving the new rug, just flipping it out, just getting down on a new rug, on my new cheap rug.
Wherever you lay your rug, that's your home.
It really is, girl. That's my bench. Anyway, so I laid it down and I started watching. There's this mixed volleyball league that meets on Clapham Common.
Oh, yeah.
And conveniently near the Butchers. And I started watching really bad volleyball.
Bad volleyball.
No, it wasn't bad. You know, one of them. There's obviously two leagues going on there.
Right, right.
So it's three blokes, three women.
Mm.
Really keen.
Mm.
And a real mix of people.
Right.
You know, like you can see there's maybe like five different languages in every game. You know,
right,
like,
go on,
It just shows you what a great cosmopolitan city we are. Anyway, but then this weird thing, I've got to be careful to say it because they might be suing each other.
Right.
What happened was, this in the good game, I knew it was good because that guy did that serve where you jump up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus,
the smash.
He had that sort of body that's quite lanky, long arms, but quite buttockless. No, do you know what I mean?
The Phelps.
Yeah, that sort of Phelpsy athletic body, the one that sort of does a lot of good indoor sports. Swimming, volleyball, handball.
But no need for broadness in beam.
No, I'm just saying that physique that is no good for any English sport.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The big three. You know, you couldn't... Anyway, so he was serving like that and they started playing this game and this guy has punched the ball.
Yeah.
He's missed it and he's just... And between the other side of the net is this woman, and he's just taken her out of the face. And she's gone down and she's got a nosebleed, the whole thing. And they've... What I love about it is each team, after every point involved, everyone goes, woo, like this.
Oh, they do that.
And there's
American
loads of
thing,
mini high fives and rituals.
Right, right.
And
top gunning, that's called. Yeah,
but let me tell you, these both volleyball games are very much what I call the corporate softball crowd.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. It's not the top level.
No, they're not particularly athletes. You know, they found other sports to shine in.
Right.
But what was amazing is they didn't apologise. They just grew around and there was this woman going, oh,
oh, oh, oh, God. Oh. Awful.
But anyway, the point about it is, Gav, I'm so starved of sport. Mm. I stayed there for about 2 hours.
No.
Yeah, I did. And even worse than that, I'll tell you something that's even worse, yeah? I followed a team to the other
No
thing.
Way.
No, I did to see
how they got on.
To see how they get on in the next round. I was thinking, God.
I'm with so, your rug.
Gav, you got a rug, mate.
It's now the East Stand.
Yeah, you got to get involved with the whole rug game. Seriously, now you got a rug. If you're going to a park without a cheap rug.
Say yes to rugs.
You're not tooled up.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
The captain, Biffy Clyro, which I hope my son, it's my oldest son, Raph, I hope he's listening to that very loudly on his 18th birthday present. It was his 18th birthday on Sunday.
And happy birthday, Raph.
Vengeance is mine, saith the dad.
Why?
Because I got him some of those Yamaha 8-inch speakers he told me to get. Because then he wouldn't need to get a woofer. And his bedroom's right above my ex's. Oh, man. Sweet. Sweet is the dad.
Now get him some dubstep tutorials. On YouTube.
Wop,
yes,
wop.
Yes, for like 7 hours of wop, wop, wop. It'd be great.
That's fantastic. Anyway, I just felt as he took them home, and he really wanted to get them home straight away.
Yeah,
and I bought them on stands.
Nice.
And you told me, Gav told me to get these the Yamaha studio monitors that got built-in amps and everything, so he can just play it right off his laptop. So that is conceivable, Gav.
Beautiful.
Anyway, happy birthday to him, and I hope he's driving him mad already. Although he must get on with his A level revision. Gav, I was telling you about the old Clapham rug, which I bought from Waitrose very cheaply, and it means basically that's it. You're now out in the park. You don't care.
Brilliant.
You don't care. And I started getting into a bit of volleyball. Before that, though, I had the pleasure of going to Waitrose, where I bought the rug, obviously.
Yeah.
Before I watched the volleyball. And not only do they now, was the only booze left in the cabinet was Dark and Stormy's in a tin.
Right.
A drink I happen to love. Okay. So I bought a few cans.
Right. And then
it was a long time since I've headed to the park with some cans. In the bottom of a pram. Yes! Get in. There's nothing better than pulling out another cold one from under a pram.
Oh, it's class.
I was sensible and responsible, don't worry about it. But you know, I bought, you know.
Yeah.
But while I was in Waitrose, Gav, I've been saving this for you, and I didn't tell you before the show.
Go on.
Remember that time I was in Marbella? Sorry, Puerto Banús.
Yeah.
And I heard that Irish woman, the Northern Irish, say the word, don't go touching that Lamborghini.
Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. And I told you that Lamborghini is the best word in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm in Waitrose. And there's two women from Northern Ireland, And they're, guess where they are, Gav?
Where?
The pasta section, debating
no
pasta.
No way.
You've never heard...
Linguine.
No, tortellini. I'm trying to buy some tortellini. What about the tortellini? It was because, no, the linguine is good. I'm thinking, this is... No, but it was really bad because I was hanging around.
You couldn't leave.
Spaghetti.
Rigatoni.
Is that spaghetti? Or spaghetti?
Bucatini. Fusilli.
Ravioli.
Pepperdelli.
No, but the best one is... Tortellini.
Perfect.
It's just, Gav, they were debating every single type of stuffed pasta, all the different pastas that they're...
It's perfect.
It was the best thing. I could listen forever.
Radio X.
Gav, you ready for this?
Go on.
Dog owners often like to project human qualities on their pets. Not at all.
No, surely not.
That's ridiculous. Not. That's absurd. They'll be saying we talk to them next.
Exactly.
Anyway. Go on. A new study suggests there's one area in which canines do follow mankind. They are more likely to be right pawed.
Are they, though? How do we know? How do
we
know?
And it's, well, because they've done tests, Gav.
Right.
That's what this whole item's about.
Well, they've thrown them a ball or something.
Are you faking innocence?
Partly, but I genuinely don't know.
John, how could they do that?
Well, I'd like to know.
No, but you're like the sort of the stooge in an infomercial.
Oh, yeah.
So let me get this straight. It can play my DVDs, CDs, and old MP3s.
And this will last all year, will it?
It will more than this year. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, up to 10 years.
How come they're Atlantic, they're American, but slightly from Yorkshire as well?
I don't know, Gav, but there's a certain area of Yorkshire that where you got Americans living there.
With cleaning products.
Yeah, and how to make American-style donuts. Okay,
on.
Gav.
Go on.
They've analysed 18,000 dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't get much out of them on a couch.
No, you won't.
Sitting
no.
back there. Let's talk about your childhood.
They didn't do it all at once, no, obviously.
They didn't analyse them like that.
A crowd of 18,000 ducks.
Now listen to me!
All those who are right pawed, raise your right
paw. No, they wouldn't say.
No.
I'm going to ask a question, raise your paw. Aha!
Right, yeah.
So here we go. Analysis of 18,000 dogs. Let's talk again about your mother.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. And you felt angry, right? Anyway. We're going to get through the second paragraph.
We've got to do it.
I can tell you now we are. I'm reading from the Times.
Stick with it. Push through.
I'm going to stick with it, Gav. An analysis of nearly 18,000 dogs in Britain has found that nearly 75% showed a poor preference.
Right.
So 75% is 1 in 10 are left-handed in Britain.
Right.
Which I always think means if your kid is left-footed, you get them playing football.
Yeah, because they've got an advantage.
Of course, you're only up against 1 in 10 of the population. It's amazing. But the trouble about that is it means this quality on the left is never going to be as good on the right, given the competition, which means the low-quality left-footed player is coming up against a very high-quality right-foot player. So there's another problem there.
There is
they come
a problem.
From a smaller skills pool, but they're up against a bigger one. So I'm always fascinated about what happens on the left wing.
It's weird, because left-handed people in sport look more elegant, too, for some reason. Why is that?
I don't know.
Gower, Hendricks?
No, maybe you notice it more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because when they do get through. But then again, down the right wing, it means they're now up against the left-footed.
Yes.
And left...
Yeah, it's weird.
So that they're weaker there. And yet, I don't know.
It's a paradox.
How you can tell if your dog is right or left-handed, really easy.
Go on.
You get a treat. And I'd really like you to do this during the show, please. You get a treat...
Yeah.
And you put it inside a cardboard box or a plastic tube.
Right.
I don't know about that, but let's just go for a cardboard box.
Yeah. Go on.
And you see how your pet first retrieves it.
Ah, and if it goes in there. The right. Yeah.
And the reason, I get that. I get how you can then see if you're right or left-handed. But do you know why you have to have a preference?
Why?
Because that little glitch gives you the edge. It means you haven't got two hands arriving to do the same job at the same time.
By
and
mistake.
Effectively, you know, too many chefs.
Yeah.
Suddenly, just with your hands. Otherwise, you'd have otherwise you'd have both hands going for things, which isn't as efficient.
You'd be clapping all the time.
You'd be clapping or you'd be going, all the time. That's right, you just know one. So that's why they have the glitch there.
Wow.
They discovered that. And that's the thing I found fascinating at the end. And how we've evolved that skill.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder if cats are right or left pawed. They must be.
I don't know, Gav. I don't know. I haven't read that far. The show doesn't need it because we only get as far as the second thudding paragraph. That's why. That's what I told them.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
It's at times like this I like to reach into the mailbag with one of my veiny hands. And pull out a memory of me. This one's from Giles in Bristol. All right, Charlie Wiley. He remembers this. I remember this. God, man. Honestly, what a life. This is a memory of me. Dear Tej, my crew and I were lost at sea in a terrible storm. The high winds made a demonic noise as they ripped through the torn, ragged sails of our boat. Oddly, we were also surrounded by a thick fog. To the port side, there was a swirling vortex of water. To the starboard side, jagged rocks covered in sharp barnacles. Grown men were a-whimpering as they slowly accepted their fate. Do you know something? Just as an aside, I hate that vibe.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it because I know what's going to happen. Is all eyes are going to be on me. Sure. And like, what do we do, Tej? Yeah. Get us out of this, you know? And it's suddenly that pressure. Then, so, grown men whimpering as they slowly accepted their fate. Then, all of a sudden, above the shrieking, demonic noise of the wind, we heard it. At first, we thought it was a sound of a mythical creature from below, a deep throat sound that nearly splintered the deck and cracked the mast. The fog partially lifted, just enough to reveal what we all assume was a cliff face due to its sheer scale and presence. I then quickly realised it was you, TJ. Stood barefoot on the razor-sharp barnacles with your enormous, hideously overdeveloped barrel chest thrusting majestically towards the sea. Despite the icy temperatures, you were completely naked, apart from a Speedo you'd fashioned from an octopus. I still got those. And actually, that's my po- It doesn't matter. Many of the crew let out an audible gasp as they witnessed your impressive physique. Mutters of, it's him, it's him. We're saved. Did you get a look at his glutes? Quickly spread across the ship. Despair turned to hope as you shouted out to us, don't worry, you can sit back and relax. I'll take it from here. Diving from the rocks, you executed a perfect front roll, back flip, knee tuck. You swam under the boat through the swirling vortex of death and asked me to throw you a rope. You then tied it round your waist and towed us away from certain disaster. The nearest port was 10 miles away.
Wow.
Yeah, we made land in under 5 minutes. Word had reached port of your heroic rescue, and there was a welcome party for you. You were offered food, drink, and some warm clothes. You declined, saying, today isn't a cheat day. Three newborn babies were named after you, two boys, one girl, as well as a litter of puppies and a cow. I've never seen you since, but I know that when I go out to sea, my guardian angel will not be far away. Thank you, Tej. You're not just a man or a myth, but an actual godlike legend. I treasure that memory. Just a great guy. There's only one memory lapse in that story, which is a great story, Gav.
Yeah, what?
I held the rope in my teeth.
Right.
I didn't tie that round my waist, Charles, yeah. But you wouldn't have seen that.
And I think you were doing backstroke for that
you
last
night. You wouldn't have seen that down there in the spume. But I can assure you, that was gripped between my teeth. But it's another memory of me. Please keep your memories of me coming in. Everybody loves them. 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X.
Just want to alert you to two memoirs that are out. One, Casanova. Yeah, a fresh analysis of Casanova's memoirs reveals him to be a Dr. Monke, whose medical observations provide unique insights into 18th century healthcare. I say.
My God.
You'd like to come here and stand behind the screen.
Fascinating.
That doesn't mean he's any less of a cad, just because he's a doctor. If you ask me, that moves him up.
I'd love it if it turned out Casanova just turned out to be absolute bullshido. Like,
yes.
He didn't know any women.
Yeah, exactly.
He
right.
Just said, no, you wouldn't know her. She lives in a different town.
Yes,
but yeah.
Yes. Well, like you, absolute bullshido merchant. Yeah. No, of course. And then all of God, yeah, no, I know number about 840 that year.
Just rubbish.
Yeah, of course.
They're all from Canada.
Of course, I had to. Yeah, yeah. No, I think she's gone back to. Right, Gav, you ready for this?
Go on.
Or on holiday in Greece with no one else.
That's
there,
it, yeah,
with
yeah. No corroboration.
Second thing up, and this is a bit of a disappointment. This is Book and Grohl. Wow. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And Nirvana.
Right.
To publish first memoir. What upsets me about that is he's got any memories.
Yeah, because it's not very rock and roll.
No, I mean, you sort of think to yourself, if you remember Nirvana, you weren't in it. Yeah. So I'm just, I hope it's lots of other people writing about it. And Dave rocks Mr. Nice Guy.
And just kind of does a little edit on it.
Yeah, does an edit, sort of go, that could have happened. Well, feasible.
Can't be sure. Yeah, but why is Dave Grohl Cockney suddenly?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's one of the cats hanging around in Carnaby Street.
And then Dave Grohl's turned around, he's going, what are you lot doing? I'm with Nirvana. But Gav.
I'm with Nirvana.
Gav, here's the thing, right?
Go on, yeah.
I think Dave Grohl would make a really good, if he did play a modern Casanova.
Yeah, why not?
Because Casanova was just like Dave Grohl.
Well, I put Cockney as well.
Come in, love. No, he couldn't actually because there's no such thing as a Cockney doctor.
X Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
At this time, every day, we reach for the Woodman. Do you know that unprofessional gap there? Vin, man.
It was a comedy beat.
It was a comedy beat. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Every single day, the Woodman furnished with a hero. In these uncertain times, my God, we need one to inspire us, to lead us, to show us the way. And the Woodman has a pair of Belgian sisters?
Well, more than a pair, Johnny. So this is a story from 1990, where when a group of eight nuns from a Catholic order, they had a 600-year-old convent in Bruges in Belgium.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to heat. There was only eight of these sisters in this order at the time, and it was prime real estate. So they sold it for £1 million in 1990.
Nice.
So you can imagine what a building this was. 600-year-old convent.
Must
in the
be
middle
mate.
Of Bruges.
God, I'd love to see it.
They bought a top-of-the-line Mercedes.
I'd love to go anywhere.
They bought a top-of-the-line Mercedes.
I'd love to have a Mercedes.
Three racehorses.
I'd love three racehorses.
A farm and a chateau in Tarbes, a town on the sunny foothills of the French Pyrenees, to which they drove.
Hang on a second.
To which they drove in convoy with the Mercedes and an ambulance for their oldest sister, 93-year-old Sister Agnes.
Where did they go?
They went to the south of France.
No, where about? What was the place called?
A place called Tarbes. T-A-R-B-E-S.
I'd love it if it was just full of like gupty scousers, all telling jokes.
French scousers.
Hey, welcome to Tarbes. Hey, what's going on here? Hey, Varney.
It's pronounced Tarbes.
Hey. Hello, Varney.
So the Vatican were not happy because it didn't look good. They sold it to property developers. They would have liked to have been consulted, but the sisters went ahead anyway and made their move. Apparently, the convent was theirs to sell, not the churches, and there wasn't much anyone could do. I just love the idea that they were freezing cold in this convent. And they thought, you know what? Sod this.
Yeah, sod this. Gav, I'm going to tell you now, yeah? What a great...
They did a Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, but what a great series to make.
What a film, yeah.
No, just about two people, say you and me, who are on a radio show.
Sure, yeah.
And they read a story like this, and they think, hey, I wonder how many other nuns are sitting on a gold mine.
Well, they must be.
Let's start buttering up nuns and getting in on the investments.
So they were led by 61-year-old Sister Anna. Do you know what the order was called, Johnny?
What?
The Poor Sisters of Clara.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they made a leg. They
absolute
made a run
racket.
For it to the sun. They bought three racehorses.
That's fantastic. But hang on a second. What do they do with the race? Where do they keep the race?
They were betting on them. And they were racing them.
But did they keep all their habits on and everything?
I don't actually know. I need to find out.
Did they also go for like sort of Versace versions of
that? That would be so... What, the actual habits?
Yes.
Really brightly coloured.
Designed like Chanel belts around them. Okay, Gav.
The Poor Sisters of Clara.
The Poor Sisters of Clara. The Johnny Vaughan. Four till seven thing, we salute you. Thank you so much.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a loyal employee?
Absolutely right, yeah.
Okay, well, here we go then.
Go on.
Some Employee of the Month awards are more deserved than others. I read this in the Times. Mm. None more so than that of a woman who gave birth to her boss's baby after offering to be a surrogate.
Wow.
Right, female bosses, certainly. It's not bloke, sort of subtle hints. Kately Cotton from Alderney in the Channel Isles gave birth to Joey after being asked by Kate Postlethwaite to carry her child.
Right.
That's a big one, that. It must make it really hard for the boss then to like sack her and stuff. And
yeah, or say you're exaggerating your morning sickness.
Yeah, right,
and not
yes.
coming to work.
Yeah, right. I've got morning sickness with your baby. I mean, yeah. I just think the complications there.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't. Anyway, the two had worked together since 2017 as a digital media company. Cotton, who is under Postlethwaite, has two children already. So right. She's the PA. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she was aware of her boss's desire to have a baby after suffering. Well, she's been unable to have them and lost some. Yeah. So it's quite a sad story here.
It
anyway,
is, yeah.
Cotton said she jumped at the chance to have some time off. Sorry, to help her boss. When her boss asked if she'd be a surrogate. That is an odd business meeting.
It is a weird one, isn't it? You don't expect that. Can you pop in?
Well, I'm looking at it the other way around.
For a minute.
I'm looking the other way around. If, say, Matt called me in to ask me to give issue.
And for his
prospective
child.
But just be quite odd. I've seen you just strike me as the right kind of genes, John. You might have noticed me looking at you and taking more interest in your children recently.
Looking you up and down.
Well, John puts beaker on table. Yeah. With a sort of a...
It'd be an awkward meeting.
With
for
a
sure.
freezer box. Yeah. It'd be a really awkward meeting.
Very strange.
But Matt, I said, I thought we were discussing my pay or something. I thought this was a playlist meeting. No, John, he says. Anyway, Cotton said she jumped at the chance, which is great. Everyone, no one's sure about their job. You'd have to. Postlethwaite said that despite her fertility struggles, she hadn't considered surrogacy until recently.
Right.
What I love about this is that the boss said, and this is what really troubles me, because this is a whole new level of sort of boss-employee kind of weirdness.
It is, yeah.
You ready? She says, looking back, I think I may have been subconsciously hinting towards Caitlin, but at first I thought it was far too intense to ask her. How do you? I mean, if we just had the right donor, we might.
If only there was someone.
If only there was someone with a proven track record of having kids.
Someone in the organization, perhaps?
Someone perhaps I trust already, but I can't.
Someone not that far from the organization. Perhaps,
and the thing is, I'd want to be close to that person, sort of. See, I mean, how do you, without asking, you might as well just ask them. I can imagine what she says when she goes home. She goes, no, I had a terrible day at work. She's hinting she wants me to have a baby.
Radio X.
Gav, they've gone too far with the NHS, yeah?
Go on.
When they first started it, it just meant everyone had a right. If you're ill.
Yes.
You're broken something, you get treatment. Yeah. You've got to go just to the wise woman in the village.
Right.
Or some posh doctor. He says, if you were richer, I'd probably treat you. But as it is, I'm going to put you down.
Yeah. There's nothing to be done.
There's nothing to be done for you at all. Not on your...
meager.
At your social level.
Not in your situation.
If you are worth saving, I would. But anyway, Gav, get this. Paddleboarding will be offered on the National Health Service to boost well-being. Can I say this well-being thing?
Paddleboarding.
Now, the point is that's not good for my well-being. Because you've got nurses out there who need more money for their well-being.
Yes.
Well, the National Health Service is going to put money into something like paddleboarding. What? So...
Well, I don't get it.
What? No, it's for well-being.
Yeah, no, I understand why they're doing it.
You can't start fund... Otherwise, it's just a bottomless pit.
Yeah, that's
Once
right.
Once you start on the well-being thing, honestly, that's just quality of life issues now.
No, it really is, because my well-being would be influenced by a 59 Les Paul, for example.
Right,
but
right.
But they're hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yes, right. But, well, you should get that on the NHS, Gavin, if they're getting... and yet, if I'm swimming and I see a paddleboarder, I would pay that amount to have him taken down by say, a sniper.
Seize him.
Yes, seize him. Absolutely right. So I just don't see if we carry on with this, Gav. It's never going to end.
It's the thin end of the wedge.
It
it's
really
weird.
Is. Yeah. Because the next thing is they'll start setting up groups.
Right.
And this is where we're getting into a key level of what I call unskilled work.
Right.
And you'll find this is all the area where people start arguing about who should be employed there and what should be going on. Because there's actually nothing, no real measurement of how well you're doing.
Right.
So you set up a group of people who are, I don't know what their qualification is, but it'll be fairly insane where they got their qualification, because someone will have a degree in well-being from somewhere in California that's online, yeah? And they've also been to a conference, say, in Sheffield, Meadow Hall, in somewhere, in a shopping centre, they turned up and learnt about well-being.
Yeah.
And they went online to California where someone was talking to them about something.
About well-being.
And now they'll all meet together on Zoom and start talking about other things, the NHS. And before you know it, it's going to get out of control.
No, it's crazy, because paddleboarding, that's Olympic funding, that
yes,
is.
Yes, that
is. Nothing to do with NHS. Yeah.
We know, everyone in this country knows, when it comes to absolute rubbish like that, leave it to the lottery.
That's it. Yeah.
Let them finance that.
X. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Ever since I told you about the time my dad used our bath to try his new wetsuit, you've been sending your dad's stories in for a segment of the show called Dad's Barmy! Maybe your dad got a plunger stuck on his face. Perhaps your dad pre-drills mushrooms to prepare for kebab skewers using an industrial pillar drill.
Incident. These are all true stories.
They're all
the
true, yeah. Or maybe, thanks, Gav, for just giving it that stuff.
It sounded speculative.
What do you like? Like hype man? Yeah. Just joining in on certain
words.
Yeah.
Drill those mushrooms.
Yeah. These are all true.
Plunge it in the face.
Next time I do, I'm going to do the next one, Gav. I want you to go, true that.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, okay, we get it. Or maybe your dad, Arthur, insists on being called Steve because it sounds more exciting.
Yeah, true that.
True that. Anyway, whatever type of kooky dad you've got, there's a place for them right here on the 4 till 7 thing. I was expecting you to join in with the word thang.
Oh, God.
You
didn't. It's sorry.
Fine. Okay, here we go. This is from Sally in Windsor. Thank you so much, Sally. My dad dislodged a 2-inch thick piece of ice from a bucket in the garden one winter. It was so perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I feel like crying. I love this so much.
Go on.
It was so perfect. He thought he'd put it in the freezer.
Don't waste it.
No, that's the hoarder. That's the hoarder mindset.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I sort of get it.
That is perfect. You'll never see that again.
If you've got an eccentric dad, yeah, which I have,
yeah,
I can easily see him doing something like that.
Oh, definitely. It's
finding a perfect icicle and thinking, yeah, I'm going to keep that to show people. Look at the bloody icicle I found. Well, he'll say it in July and people go, well, it's in the freezer.
God.
A selection. You can have a little, nice little selection of the best of ice that you found around your garden. Anyway, months later in the summer, he found it and decided to throw it over the next door's garden, chuckling to himself that it would confuse them.
In the summer. Go on.
The neighbour found it, phoned the council,
what?
And ended up with scientists coming to view it and ponder over such a phenomenon. It was deliberated over for weeks. They concluded it must have dropped off a passing aeroplane.
You're kidding.
Some weeks later, the neighbour relayed the events with excitement to my dad, who didn't have the nerve to fess up and agreed it was very strange indeed, while chuckling to himself that... It's
that is
just
beautiful.
And also, clapping
in you.
Do you know
lovely
what? I wish I had a garden to do that with. It's really, man. And everyone's looking forward to the next bit of ice, aren't they?
Definitely.
The worst thing is everyone's going to be chucking it one garden over. Let's have yours.
Bozzy in Manchester says, my dad decided to cut the bushes in blazing hot sunshine one day, and he couldn't find any sun cream.
Go on.
So instead... He opened a tin of tuna and smothered himself from head to toe in the oil.
No.
Wearing just a knotted hanky on his head, Union Jack boxer shorts, white sports socks and sandals, he could be seen up
he's
a
like
ladder.
An icon, Gaff.
He could be seen up a ladder like a lobster covered in flies and stinking to high heaven.
That's disgusting.
God, that must have stank.
Because he thought he'd heard you can use olive oil.
Yeah. And he thought there's some in the tuna.
Found none in the cupboard. But as Gav said, when we were kids, you could only get olive oil in the chemist.
That's right, Boots, yeah.
That's it.
It was for clearing your ear out.
Yes, there was none for food.
That's it, yeah.
Anyway, this is Jess in Liverpool. This is beautiful. Hey, and also, we were talking about volleyball earlier. On a family holiday, my mum urged Dad to take part in a friendly game of beach volleyball. He declined, saying, you know how I get... But after much persuasion, he joined in. Over the next few days, it turned from friendly dad match to all-out war, with dads returning to the pool area, dripping in blood after playing on the shale court. Horrified, my mum asked what had happened, and he said, well, I warned you.
You know how I get.
Yeah, 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Send us your dad stories. They can range from the eccentric to the downright embarrassing. They can be oddly heroic or just mortifying, as long as they're carried out by that well-meaning buffoon. The dad, I played with a team of German fathers when I was when I got moved to a different flat in this holiday resort.
Yeah.
It was owned by Germans.
Right.
And no one knew. There was a whole section of it that was just for German families.
No.
And every day the German fathers play their sons at volleyball.
Right.
And I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between the British and the Germans is that they really play much harder against young children.
They go
really
hard.
Right. And they go, fumph, give me fumph. There's one guy just smashed the ball at this just six-year-old's face. The kid was crying. And the German fathers were pointing through the net.
No.
And just laughing at his pain. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Ragging on a six-year-old's ass.
But really crying. He's going, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Like that was the game. It was, God, I admired them.
So cool.
Yeah, I really admired them. Radio X. Hey, guys. More home workers could convert their sheds or garages into offices as they adapt properties to flexible working. Which already gets me about that.
Mm.
It's work taking over your home. Everyone thinks this is great, I haven't got commute anymore, but it's not. Because it's really important in life to have that division between home and work. It's a really important thing.
Yeah, and sheds are man caves, hobby places, aren't they?
Right. There used to be a video you could get. Well, a film they used to show at school, which the theme tune was The Health of Man is Like an Equilateral Triangle.
Right.
And what it showed us was that it's to do with work.
Yeah.
Social.
Okay.
Yeah, and physical, you know, a bit of sport.
Right.
And those are
The three things, the three places you've got to have.
Like, that's that third place you go to.
Right, yeah.
So you've got home, work, and that third place.
Yeah.
And often the shed does fulfil the role of home.
Right.
I'm kidding.
It's not the third place.
No, but what I'm saying is when you're home sometimes, you know, you do need to escape somewhere. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, husband, wife, man, woman, whatever. It's nice to have a place you go.
Yeah.
Remember, when a bloke escapes to the shed, a lot of the time his wife is laughing, thinking, ha-ha, I've got a house.
The big brick building.
While he's while he's in a hut at the bottom of the garden, feeling really smug as he makes some tea with a boilette. And
one of those little ovens.
Yeah, and listens to something on a rubbish little little old transistor radio as he tries to fashion a model Spitfire, thinking, ha-ha, you cow.
I've got it made.
One up. She's thinking, ah, oh, bless her. He thinks he's got one up on me living in a hut. Anyway, the point is people are going to lose that. Gav, there is a case for, you know, that people are doing virtual reality at the moment.
Right.
Well, just have your VR shared.
Oh, I see, like a program in some goggles.
Yes.
And you get to potter around in it.
Suddenly, that normal room is an absolute hole. Just like a complete Wendy House syndrome.
It gets windier in there somehow.
You can have a really... No, but it's such a basic thing to do. And let's face it, no one really moves around the shed anyway.
Yeah.
So it can be the same desk you're working at.
Exactly, yeah.
And you make that desk with your goggles on look like an amazing office.
Yes.
And that's your office. And then you could perhaps then... You stand up, you do a whole commute... Sit on a train when in actual fact you're just sitting in the kitchen standing in the hallway for a bit.
You can't get a seat. Yeah.
You go home and then you take the goggles off, see the family for a bit, put the goggles back on, go back into the, I don't know, the downstairs loo. Wherever you've been pretending has been a sophisticated large work area.
It can now be your shed. Yeah.
It's your shed.
Perfect.
You know, literally, you're going there, the most sophisticated technology to create a virtual... hole.
Absolutely right. You could have little coffee jar lids with screws in them just on the windowsill.
The great thing is, Gav, you can build it.
You can.
You can just click things around on your
whatever
screen
you like.
Saying, I think I'm going to have that. And I think I'll have a load of damp magazines from the 70s in the corner.
Definitely.
Do you know what else I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to have just a couple of jobs that are unfinished.
Yes.
I'm going to have a couple of bodged items. Yeah, like an old lawnmower. I'm going to have a big stack of just bits of wood I'm planning to make into breadboards. I can do lots of things.
Bottles of solid wood glue.
Yes. Now you're getting it. Paint, you'll never use again.
Ever.
Because that item that you kept it for to touch up, it doesn't even exist anymore.
Pinboard on the walls that you haven't actually hung any tools up on.
Right. On the back of the door, you could still have a virtual dartboard.
Definitely. Or a calendar.
Or a calendar, yeah. Next to a calendar, Gavin. You're just throwing darts through space, but it looks like you are.
Fantastic.
I'm just saying.
God, the dreams you build, Johnny.
What gets
unbelievable.
Me is when it's VR, it's always got to be what you're fighting aliens or zombie warfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why most people just want something quite dreary and mundane.
That's right, yeah, definitely.
That's what I want tech to provide me with.
Just want to fit that fuse back
in
there.
I want tech to take me to a really dreary world. A dreary, mundane, second-rate, two-stroke reality. Exactly.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
It's going to be a big change here tomorrow, Gav. Massive change.
Wow, what's going on?
I have bought from that place you recommended to me, Sanderson's or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Anderton's.
Anderton's.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I blocked.
Sanderson's. You're thinking about chicken still, aren't you?
I am. Hello, Sanderson.
Colonel Sanderson.
I don't know what Sanderson's would sell, but anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
I spoke to Anderton's. Where are they? Out in...
Guildford.
I don't know. But that's where I got my son's 18th present.
Yeah, they're in
these,
Guildford, yeah.
These speakers that I got much bigger versions for than he wanted.
Mm.
Aha. I know his bedroom's above my ex, so that just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Gav, I've sent off for my own Beodynamics headphones.
Oh, have you?
I just saw them there. You never think you're going to get. You never think you're going to get that impulse buy. You know, like the Peppa Pigs.
Do you know what it says about you when you put them on?
What?
pro.
That's what I think.
That's what it does.
So for the
yeah.
first time in sort of nearly 30 years of broadcasting, I'm going to be showing up with my own little box. It's like you're right. It's like your own pool cue at the pub.
It is.
It just means you're showing up there.
Have you got a little leatherette case for
them? I hope so. I once did a pilot show with Steve Wright, the legend.
Yeah.
That's not the American comedian, the British DJ with the amazing voice.
Mm.
And I couldn't work out why he sounded so great in the studio. It was fantastic. And I said, anyway, I was about to go and do a voiceover after him.
Right.
So I've gone into the voiceover studio afterwards, and he carried this box with him. And I asked someone, what's that box? He goes, no, I mean, Steve can control his own levels.
Oh, he's got his own preamp.
Yeah, he's got his own preamp. And I was thinking, how come his voice is so deep and
because
warm?
That was a valve preamp, and he made it sound lovely, didn't
he? Yeah, right. I was thinking, wow. I was in awe of him. He was carrying this thing out. He's like, all right, Johnny, how are you? Yeah. His voice sounds like that. But on air, he's like that. Well, it's a great day. It's just so the opposite of helium, Gaff.
Wow.
Radio X.
You right there, Gaff?
Yeah, really good.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
God, I wish we could say things like that, but we just don't get guests.
I know.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. My guest today is Gavin the Woodwards, and it is to Gavin I wish to turn. Gavin, in your new book, do you suffer from sweaty palms? Gavin certainly does. That's why he wrote a book about it.
Yes, 700 pages on how to deal with sweaty palms.
But all easy to turn you've got sweaty palms. During lockdown, I've been growing my hair. Turns out I've got black, jet black hair, like black velvet.
Yeah.
Consequently, my partner, Vanessa, has taken to playing black velvet and a soft silence when I'm in the loo.
Yeah.
Because that's when I'm trapped. It's her mock anthem. She mocks me with it. Then you started sending in yours, which led us to a brand new feature. Mark. Oh, that's it. Gav, I'd like you to do the first one because you're better at singing this.
Which one? Oh, I've got you. Yes. An accident-prone bloke named John Saltage gets a chorus of the Electric Six classic, Danger, Danger, John Saltage.
Which is fantastic. There's a now classic about an Aussie IT guy named... No need to ask, he's a Ken De La Vega. Ken De La Vega. unfortunately, we really get into singing it.
It's great.
Yeah, it's terrible. Every time King does any DIY. Now, this is just to show you the other direction it can go. It doesn't have to be sort of fiendishly cunning wordplay. It's just mocking people.
Yeah.
Like the Black Velvet original.
Yeah.
Did I change my voice slightly to original? I think I did, didn't I?
I think you did,
just very slightly. Every time King does any DIY, his wife plays this and films it. and she sends it to all his friends to show.
So hard.
So if he's doing like lawn mowing or something like that, she'll film it. Put that. He works hard for the money.
So hard for it, honey.
It's so good, isn't it? She sounds like a great girl. Okay. Here's a few more we've had in. This is from Reese in Cardiff.
Go on.
God, this is good. In a previous job, our manager was called Matt, and for one project, Matt brought in his wife to help. She had the required expertise. As no one knew her and couldn't always remember her name, during meetings, everyone kept referring to her as Matt's wife.
Right.
After a while, she couldn't be mentioned without half the state team singing, Matt's wife, Matt's what all the people say. Matt's wife, Matt's... Could you join in on the Matt's wife afterwards?
What, in the backing vocal?
Because he goes, that's life, and I goes, that's life.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, add. Matt's wife,
Matt's wife.
That's it. Thank you. There we go. I hope we did that justice. That was from Reese in Cardiff. Thank you, Reese. Absolutely beautiful. Gab, what you got from Kyle?
Kyle says, my diminutive and skinny mate once wore a check shirt and boots. From that day on, we all sang at him, You're a nine stone cowboy.
Why is it always songs from a certain era?
It is. Yeah.
I don't know, because it's our punters.
Yeah.
This is from Derek of Alloa. I feel sure there's something in there. In Alloa, definitely. But anyway, I work with a guy in the dockyard called Robert Form. We used to get a message sent out on the tannoy for him to come to the office. When he walked in, we'd break into, "Wow! Bobby Form! Bobby Form for you!
Bobby Form."
Yes, Robert Form was his name.
Bobby Form for you!
What I love about that is they used to get on the tannoy just to get him in so they could mock him. You know? And I bet as he walked in there, he's thinking, what's going to happen here?
Get your hand off that mic.
Yeah, right. Send your mock anthems, please. 83936 or tweet at Radio X. But thank you so much to Reese in Cardiff, Kyle and Derek of Alloa for three more absolutely fantastic mock anthems. Send them in, like I say, 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
It's a very sad day today. Obviously, we've just heard of the passing of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. Do you know, I met him once, Gav.
You didn't?
Yeah, I did meet him once when I was a little bit tipsy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was staying in Scotland. I was going out with a girl at the time who was really clever. Her best friend, his dad at the time, was chief commander of Her Majesty's forces in Scotland.
Wow.
So we were going up to stay for the Edinburgh Festival.
Right.
And Simon, as the son of this guy.
Yeah.
The general, the lieutenant general, said we could go, or major general, I hope I'm not doing him down. I know rank reverses, lieutenants and majors, once you get up again. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we were staying there for the Edinburgh Festival, which is a great place to stay because there's always people going back there.
Yeah.
So you can always get lifts.
Yeah.
It's quite a way out of town. I better not give away locations, but it's quite a large, stately pile.
Okay, yeah.
But inside, it's sort of very army.
Yeah.
You know, no frills.
Quite Spartan.
Yeah, really Spartan.
Always cold.
Beds, too, for the use of, sir. So it's all like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that evening, Prince Philip had taken the salute at the tattoo, I think.
Yeah.
We didn't go to it. But evidently, he was quite good friends with her mate's dad.
Yeah.
So we came through, and we'd been really drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
And we sort of had to, when you arrived back, you had to kind of go through his side of the house to get to the rather military bit. We were
right. Our digs were finally
worthy of staying in. You know?
Yeah.
And which is literally like a barracks attached to a sort of staff and everything. But we're going through.
Iron
bed. We had a few drinks. And I didn't know who it was with his back to us.
Oh, right. You didn't realise he was there.
So they were
sitting,
so we sort of knocked on. Right! So we sort of went in there going, just coming through, Sir Norman.
to get off to bed. Yes, yeah.
And General Sir Norman. And you never know quite which one to use. Is it just the general outranked
Sir? Sir General Norman?
General Sir Doctor. Doctor Sir General the
Professor
Reverend.
Professor General Doctor Sir Norman.
No, Professor is commensurate only with the rank of Brigadier, Gav.
Wow.
It's equal with Brigadier.
I'll never know it.
There is no intellectual base, apart from Dean, I think, is the same as General.
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
So we're going through there, and we were standing. And so we had, there was one sort of just, I just saw the back of his brilliantined hair of the Duke. And there was the general there. And he's going, good evening. We go, yeah, it was a very good evening. It was an excellent evening. And he was talking for a bit. And he said, what are you up to? And I said, we'll just go to bed. And the Duke said, just let them go. Of course they want to go to bed. And he turned around and just really laughed. They just want to go to bed.
Just let them go
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And he looked at us with a twinkle in his eye like he'd have hurried through much quicker.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
So in 1945 in Sydney, people don't know this, but Philip was arrested.
Really?
Yeah. And he was fined.
For
urinating in the street while on leave, which I always describe as the gentleman's crime. So there we go. So he was arrested and fined, which for me, I'm not saying you've got to be arrested and fined before you're a man of the people, but to me that does, I don't know, cement the connection a little bit more. Gav.
Yes.
Interesting facts. Where and when he proposed to the Queen is a secret.
Is it? So we don't know what part of...
We don't know. We just don't know. But the announcement was made on July the 10th, 1947. And he became a British citizen right there and then, renouncing his Greek title. And he adopted the name Mountbatten. His mother, of course, was a Battenberg.
Yeah.
Battenberg, Mountbatten. They kind of switched it because German names were obviously wildly unfashionable just after World War II. It was the last thing the British needed. Just before the wedding in Westminster Abbey on November the 20th, he was created the Duke of Edinburgh. And I like the way they threw in, you can meet Baron Greenwich as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Earl of Merioneth.
You're kidding.
No, he is. I tell what's weird about this is for a while I used to, when I had hair, I don't want to keep connecting. Of course, this reminds me of another funny story about myself. But there's the oldest barbers in Britain.
Yeah.
Is, and I've told the stories before, it's called True Fitton Hill.
Yeah.
And it was established in 1805, which weirdly for this sailor,
yeah.
That's the year of Trafalgar.
Oh,
so there you go.
Yeah,
it gives you an idea of how old that is. Anyway, in 2005, I was having my hair cut there. And after 2005, but I don't know, when was the last year I had hair? Oh, 2005. So it would have been at 2005, I was getting a last haircut there. And this was just after they'd celebrated their 200th anniversary.
Wow.
The oldest barbers in the world.
Yeah.
And I said, so who's your oldest customer then? They said, well, before, in 1947, we became Duke of Edinburgh's hairdresser.
Right.
It's literally just down there in St. James's. Yeah. Sorry, for those who don't live in London, St. James's is right by St. James's Palace, which is about 100 yards. You know, you run it in about 12 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Full dash.
Easy, yeah.
Probably I'll make it 12 seconds.
Yeah. Unless you've got a briefcase or something heavy.
If you vault Clarence House, if you go over the wall of Clarence House, through there, straight through Charles's hallway, down the mall, you get there. Anyway, and Prince Philip said he, of course, he's going to attend the celebrations for a place where he'd be getting his hair cut.
Yeah.
Since 1947. Sorry, a place that's been cutting his hair.
Since
1947. Now, this was at the time when Prince Philip was going around London, which he did for years. He bought his own cab.
Just genius, yeah.
So he'd have this flat cab, and he used to go around London.
And occasionally, just got around, yeah.
And occasionally, for a laugh, he'd pick people
he
up.
He didn't pick up
he
fares.
He picked up fares.
Did he put on an accent?
No, he picked up fares. I got that from Royal Security. He picked up fares and just asked them what they thought of the world. And what do you think of that Queen then? And he'd get their opinions, which is fantastic. So he got one of those awful metro cabs?
Yes.
And I think the registration was like NGN1 or something. It had a personalised registration. It's quite a lot of cabbies who have taught. And fans do that sort of stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
But it wasn't him because he never wears but pink shirts and stuff like Tottenham fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get a call at True Fitton Hill.
Yeah.
This barber's just before the evening starts.
Yeah.
From the Duke of Edinburgh. Duke of Edinburgh says, "Of course I'm going down to celebrate. But where are you?"
He still didn't know.
No, because they would send a barber over to him. He's their oldest punter. He's never actually been in the shop.
He's never been there, yeah.
No, they always go down the mountains. Celebrate. Hasn't actually been in the... how about that? But they like to boast, and they've got the thing there by royal appointment.
Radio X.
Radio X.
Gav, a while ago, about 2017, I remember I was very late for work.
Yeah.
Not because I'd had a big night.
Uh-huh.
But because I was driving past the National Army Museum and it was just being reopened.
Oh, right.
And as I drove past, I suddenly thought, I'm sure that's the Queen.
Oh, really? You saw the big black limo?
Yeah, no, maroon.
Oh, is it maroon?
Huge stretched out roller.
With that number plate on it.
Yeah. Well, I think, no number plate. It hasn't got a number
plate.
Right,
wow.
That's the thing. That's what drove. Oh, wait a second, driving without a bloody number plate. Anyway, so I pulled aside. I thought, I've never seen the Queen in the flesh.
Right.
And I saw her and the now departed Duke get out. And I sort of, that evening I got home and I was sort of thinking, wow. He really is like her like indoors. So I wrote in my drunk, slightly few drinks.
Yeah,
I wrote a poem
called
"ER Indoors," "Er Indoors,"
okay.
It was never meant to be a kind of tribute to a departed a prince. But anyway, this is the poem. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about her without him.
Yeah.
So it's called. ER indoors, indoors. Who could ever fill the gap left by Phil? Not a captain marked or a herald harked or shot in the arm or pill or Tom, Dick or Harry or the best Will in the world. Royally boxed, bunting foxed, warm, effusive, health or ill, Army, Navy or the RAF, every single slip or gaff, each Commonwealth thrill or helicoptered bill, reported, distorted, 21 gun retorted, every single bugled trill. Oh, now he's lamented, first time ever late, regally bivouacked, stiff-backed bait, the accepted state of Phil. There you go.
Wow.
Thanks for the...
That was something.
It was something, isn't it? Yeah, almost. I think the only person I moved there was probably myself. Anyway, if you're listening, so there we go.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now, and you'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday, provided, of course, the device is compatible with downloading podcasts. If it's, you know,
yeah,
if it's something like a screwdriver,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Electric screwdriver, it's not going to do it.
No.
Other devices, it won't work on.
An iron.
Tech.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work on there.
Fire.
Lawnmower. No, lawnmower. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. It's got to be a device that takes podcasts. And it also, you can't just quickly go to your shed and just make a device.
No, it doesn't work like that.
What is that? It's my new device.
I'm all out of lithium, though.
Yes. It's a ham driver. It's a hammer with a screwdriver at the end. I hope I can get the podcast on it. That won't work.
No.
If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you. Radio X.